Welcome to the Core Women Podcast, the place for women entrepreneurs, authors, and self-starters looking to build community and gain valuable insights through expert interviews with women at the top of their game. Join your host, podcaster, producer, expert coach, entrepreneur, and author, Dr. Summer Watson, as she aims to inspire and empower you through these candid conversations. Lean in and embrace the journey. It's time to start the show. Here's your host, Dr. Summer Watson.
Today on the show, I would like to welcome Sheila Williamson, who is a native Texan, wife to Jeff, mother to Chad, is the director of community services for a faith-based estate planning elder law firm, and is a first-time author of Two Calls, Blossoming Faith, Keeping Hope Alive. We have so much to chat about today, Sheila, so let's dive right into this and welcome.
Thank you so much, Summer, for having me.
It is a pleasure. Before we explore the professional aspects of your life, if you could describe your journey in one word to this point, what would that word be and why?
So are you talking about my entire life journey?
I know. It's pretty difficult to sum that up in one word, right?
Okay. Serendipitous.
Serendipitous. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that word. Tell us about your why for that word and why that came to mind.
Because I am a native Texan. I was raised in a small town in like 45 minutes from here in Texas. And so you would expect one thing. Especially people from all over the country would expect, okay, well, then we know what kind of, no, that's really not the kind of life that I've had, although that's what you would expect. And what I have had is one surprise after another, and they've been wonderful things for the most part that have happened to me. And if they weren't, they were things that taught me important lessons that helped me in the further journey that I have.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I know it's hard and difficult to come up with that one word or phrase to kind of sum up a life of so much tenacity, courage, change, all of that. But thank you for doing that. And I love that word, serendipitous. So what were some of the milestones in your life that you think brought you to where you are today?
Okay. Some people, they want to talk about coincidences. And you see, that's where I believe in serendipity. I don't believe that there are coincidences. I believe those events and people that come into your life come in for a reason. I'm a very strong believer in that, because things that have happened to me along the way have played an important role later on. And I've always told people that is the best part about getting older, is that you can look back and see that. Oh, that's why I learned this. That's why this happened. That's why. And it, at the time, you know, I was talking on a podcast the other day for moms, for young moms. And I said, you know, there's going to be times when you, even with a toddler, you're going to think you're at the end of your rope. You're like, I cannot take one more day. I don't know what, and I know that. And if you think that's something, I said, honey, prepare yourself for the teenage year, because that's when things really start to happen. And so that's when and in our case, we just had one child. And I think, I can see why that happened. Well, and actually that was by choice, but I can see why that was a very important choice for us because of everything that was going to happen later. But there are things that happen along the way where you may move and you get into a new environment and you run into people. And I've always had a love for nonprofits, and I've always had a heart for people that were going through hard times one way or another. And that was because of how I was raised. My dad was like that. And my dad served on so many boards of nonprofits. And I was raised that way from an early, early, early age. So along the way, I would meet nonprofits that helped different people that had different circumstances and things happen to them that I never thought, you never think that anything like this is going to happen to you. Well, that became important to me later, I will say that. But throughout different things, I had a catering business for a while. I was a stay-at-home mom when Chad was young. We chose to do that. Yes, you almost starve at first, and I could tell young moms that. You almost starve at first, but that was a conscious choice that we made for me to stay at home for many years. But I'm very social, if you can tell. So I was real active in the women's group at the church and had all these friends and just loved life. And Chad was very social, still is very, very social. And so we had a great life, and we traveled with Jeff. My husband was in the food business for 30 years, and he would go on these fabulous trips that had the family with them for a week. And so we've been to some wonderful places and different things. And Chad was just, he was wonderful as a kid. So it was great. Then as he got to be a teenager, of course, all of that comes into play. And then you're like, okay, great. Here, I don't know. They don't come with an instruction manual. So you do the best you can, and you make one mistake after another. But then we get through high school and you think, okay, well, we've done it. We've done our, you know, Chad is very smart. He's getting scholarship offers. Things are great. And so he gets an offer in college, and I'm now working part-time and having fun, doing Pampered Chef, just doing, you know, fun things and whatever. So then Chad goes to college and my mom passes away. And I was caretaker to my mom, and she passed away with complications of diabetes. So I learned a lot through that, through things that can happen to your body. And she and all of her siblings were diabetic. So there's a lot of different things I learned through that experience. But then Chad goes to college, and I figure, okay, now's a good time to start a business. So they always tell you to start what you love, do something you love. And so I started a business called Tea and Mystery. And it was, in the beginning, I sold tea and mystery books because those are my two favorite things. Okay. Anytime you want to buy me a gift, that's what I want. So anyway, I educated myself on all things tea. I've been a tea drinker since day one. My mother taught me that. But I educated myself on teas from all over the world, different things. People were buying them. It was crazy. But everybody kept asking me to cater. Yes, I'm a good cook, but I thought, well, I don't know anything about that. But I figured, how hard can this be? So I added a catering arm to the business, and Chad worked with me part-time when he would work with me, because Chad was, he loved cooking and he loved things like that. So he would work with me. And by the way, if any of you listening think that you want to try that, let me just explain something here. That's the hardest work, physical work you will ever do other than digging ditches. And probably you would get paid better digging ditches. And I've never tried that, but my guess is it would not be anywhere near, not on your feet 18 hours a day, not having to deal with mothers of the bride and things that are just, I wouldn't recommend, let's just say, wouldn't recommend. But I did learn. And what did I learn? I learned that if you don't promote yourself, nobody else will. That is a very good, it has served me well. I learned the value of networking, how to network correctly, and also of giving back. Because I worked, every nonprofit wanted me to cater for them, because of course, I would give them a deal, and I would, but I loved it because I knew that that's where my heart was, and I knew it was the right thing to do. So all of that translated, and then I don't know if you want me to go on, because then that gets into the book, but that's
okay. So let's okay, do good. That so you've touched on some milestones, you've touched on some things that you've done in the past. Now here we are, and you've written a book, mm-hmm. Two Calls, Blossoming Faith, Keeping Hope Alive. Now of course you are the impetus for this book. Tell us why you wanted to share it with the world.
Well, as I said, everything would have been great. I mean, Chad was not perfect, by no means, believe me. But he was a likable kid, and we had a great life. Well, while he was in college, sophomore year had just begun. He called to tell me one day that it was the best day of his life, because the cafeteria there, or whatever you call the food service person, mm-hmm. thing there, he had wanted to work there part-time ever since he'd been there. But when you go up to someone and say, you should hire me because I cook better than you do, that's really, really not a good way to get a job. And they laughed, and they did. But his second year, they did hire him. So he had just gotten hired, and he was on his way back to campus that night to clean up, because that's how you would start, see, to clean up after the evening meal. And he ran out of gas. As he ran out of gas, he We would stay in the car and call for help. He did not do that. He got out and tried to push his car off the road because there was no shoulder, okay, on the road. And a lady hit him going 60 miles an hour.
Oh.
And our lives were changed in an instant. This is 2-3 hours after he called me to tell me it was his best life, the best day of his life. So a stranger found him and called me. Well, because Chad was still conscious and gave him his phone, the stranger did not expect Chad to live. And because he could see the situation, obviously, we weren't there. The care flight had come to get him, and they were taking him off. And the stranger told me where they were taking him, because he conversed with the care flight person, and that he would meet us there, and then he would start praying right then. So I knew in an instant how bad this was. So our lives were changed forever. Okay. Now, that could have gone a lot of different ways. Number one, that's a very common accident, as we learn now. 95 out of 100 people that have that accident die at the scene. 5 live, but 1 walks away. And that night in the trauma unit of Parkland Hospital, which is the big county hospital in Dallas-Fort Worth, and the reason they took him there, that is, at the time, there were only 2 trauma one hospitals in Dallas, and that was the closest one. That's why they sent him. And if any of you are listening from all over the country, that's where President John F. Kennedy passed. That's where they took him. So that's these are the most skilled surgeons. The medical school is right there, and they're so that's another way that I knew how bad this was. That could have gone so many ways. And they promised me that night that Chad would be the one. Well, the doctor should never, ever have said that to me, because he didn't know that. But he was the one, as it turns out. And so the reason I wrote the book, your faith is tested right then, obviously. And you're in shock for quite a while, because you don't expect any of this to happen. We've made so many mistakes over these last 15 years, but it led us through a whole journey. And the reason I wanted to share this with people is because in the midst of this journey, there was so much help offered for Chad in his situation. Number one, because of how severe the accident was, Chad lost his right leg. He had to have an amputation, which, of course, that threw you in another world we knew nothing about. At the other leg had to be rebuilt with 12 surgeries. He's 34 and he's had 21 surgeries. So all of these things happened. You're talking to a person that almost failed biology in college. In high school, I had a football coach, so I learned nothing other than football. And in college, the first semester, of course, I didn't want to do those labs. I didn't like any of that. And so I didn't. And of course, I was failing and I had to come up and do some extra credit and blah, blah, blah. The second semester, my roommate was dating the lab instructor. So you can imagine how that went. So I learned absolutely nothing. This is kind of a cruel joke, because now I'm the one who has to take care of all of this when he comes home. Anyway, I don't know who cried more, Chad or I, when he got released, which was about 30 days later. But I stayed with him at the hospital the whole time, because we also learned an important lesson, which is another reason I wrote the book. When your child turns 18, they are considered an adult, a legal adult. If you do not have power of attorney, medical power of attorney, and HIPAA, no doctor will talk to you. They will tell you straight up that he is an adult and they don't owe you anything. So in our case, he did say that. Even as trauma as we were, he told us that in the trauma unit. And we were shocked, of course. He wasn't trying to be rude. He was telling you the truth. And this is a hard truth for families to learn, but it is the absolute truth. And if Chad had been out of state, at a college or somewhere else, they wouldn't even call us. That is hard to believe, but is the absolute legal truth. And so you need to protect your kids. You need to learn this. The other reason I wrote this is because Chad was offered help every step of the way. I'd be sitting right there and not one person offered any help for the family, not any support groups, not any resources. Are y'all okay? How are you? Now, our friends and neighbors, of course, did in our church, but no professional groups. And I'm here to tell you, in my opinion, in the journey that we went, which of course led to drug addiction and all kinds of other things, without a strong faith, it's going to destroy you. You will not make through this. I don't see how, because we had to have that. And it will try to destroy you anyway. But secondly, you have got to reach out to professionals. And you may not know who to reach out to, so I give some resources in the book. Finally, in the last 2 years of our journey, or 3 years maybe, we found some wonderful resources. We chose Families Anonymous and an addiction counseling center and our church, one of the ministers at our church, all three. It took all three to put our family back together. And I'm just telling you, the shame associated with this problem is ridiculous. We feel that way. I had lunch with a friend of mine who went through a very similar situation, except her child didn't have a medical situation that led to this. He just got involved with drugs early on. And it liked to tore everything they had down. I mean, it was horrific. But she told me the same thing. Nobody wanted to deal with this. When you'd meet friends, you'd meet their high school friends, parents and stuff. They would say, even after Chad's accident, before the drug addiction came, well, or at least before they knew about it, they would be talking about how wonderful Johnny did and Susie was graduating and this and that. It was, and then they would turn and get this pained look and, how is poor Chad? And it was all you could do. You just wanted to sink down under the concrete. And she felt the same way, although hers, they didn't even want to talk with her at all because they knew hers was just drugs. See, at least mine had they thought had a legitimate reason. And this is ridiculous because it's in every family or in extended family. It may not be in your immediate family, but it's going to be in your extended family. It's everywhere, and it needs to be talked about because people need healing. And I mean, not just the addict. The addict has a choice. Yeah. And until they're ready to make that choice, and until they're ready to get help, it's not going to happen. Did we try counselors? Yeah, five. Thank you. Did we try rehabs? At least five. He would either leave or get kicked out. I mean, you don't realize it's a disease. And until it becomes okay in a safe place to talk about this, then you feel so alone, and you're not. And I want people to know that you are not alone. There's so many of us out there. And now the opioid crisis, of course, is talked about everywhere. Yes. Now, that doesn't mean that you're okay with talking about yours. And that's okay. You don't have to be. I just am on a mission to help to have families understand that it is not your fault. You did not do anything wrong to cause this, number one. Number two, you need help just like they do. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, in my case, my employer stood behind me the whole way. And I'm very, very, very fortunate because since I work in the legal field, that... And unfortunately, not criminal, no, because that could have helped me too, but it didn't. But we don't do anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that they stood right behind me. They would come to the hospital with me. Sometimes they didn't want me to be alone. The lady on the podcast earlier this week asked me about how much self-care did I do. Well, I didn't say anything at first because there wasn't any.
Right.
But really, when you think about it, I did. Because I had a support group of wonderful friends who've stood by me through all of this.
Yeah.
And then I had these other groups that joined in to help. Our neighbors were magnificent. So that's what it takes. If this can help anybody. Yes, it was splashed all over the front of the Dallas Morning News. You learn really quickly who reads the paper. Because my phone was blowing up before I even got up because the papers come out very early and they saw this. I had no clue that was going to happen. But that's when, if we had thought about being secretive, nope. After that, that took care of that.
Yeah. I'm so glad you were able to join me on the Core Women podcast today because this is such an important conversation in so many ways. I know that times have changed. I've worked in the mental health field for years. I'm almost 55. I've worked there for 30 years. And depending on who you see, who you talk to, where you go, we'll tell you and drive you to certain resources. And then there are others who aren't nearly as helpful or supportive. And maybe even in those particular areas, counties, catchment areas, they don't have the resources and they're still somewhat antiquated. And so that's where we need to educate on resources, what information is passed on. To pick up this book and have this information is a resource in itself. And it's really critical because knowing what I know, having also had someone very close to me deal with their own addiction and how it impacted me and how I took care of that person, how I needed to get a family involved, being that at a very young age, what that looked like, what that felt like, the shame, who you could talk to, who you couldn't talk to, and where to find help. All so critical. I really want to thank you, Sheila, for joining me and talking about something that, one, can be difficult for a lot of people to still talk about because of that shame that is attached to it. You're dealing with a mental health, a drug addiction, and a physical issue. So how do you bring that all together and get the help you need on all these different levels for all these different areas of need? There are multiple factors that you are applying to this book in relation to how do you find help? How do you talk about it? How do you engage with others? What's the right help for you? Because what might have worked for you might not work for somebody
Absolutely.
else. Absolutely. So we all have a process, but here's a resource. I want to thank you so much for being on here today, talking about your journey. I'm sure people will get more information about that journey in Two Calls, Blossoming Faith, Keeping Hope Alive. So friends, if you're listening to this podcast today, one, reach out to Sheila. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the podcast. But two, go and pick up her book on Amazon and other retailers. So as we come to a close, you've covered so much here, and I'm so grateful that we've had this time to talk, to share, to gather the information that you offer. So as we come to the close of the interview, my last question is, if you were to give the listeners one tip to help them keep hope alive, what would that be?
Well, I never gave up. There is a way. I never gave up on our son. Never. At the hospital, at the very end of this situation, before it got to a good part, the doctor, the head doctor said to me, "He's so lucky to have you," which I'm not saying that about me. What I'm saying is, she said, because most people would have given up long before now. Mm-hmm. Well, when you give the message to them that you will always love them unconditionally, they're not tolerated in your house because of what they're doing, but it doesn't mean that you don't love them. You've got to separate the two. Their actions and the person are two different things, because this is a disease. He always knew that. He never doubted that. I just would not give up. I would not. And he knew that. And he said in a podcast recently that that was part of what kept him going. Mm-hmm. Because he knew that I loved him no matter what. And I feel like God has always loved me no matter what I have done. He was lost. And I knew that. And I knew he was still in there. And I just never gave up. That's what I would say. Do not do the helicopter mom. No, because I tried that and that doesn't work. That just makes things worse. But never in your heart, never give up and let them know they are loved. That goes a lot further than you think.
Thank you, Sheila, for joining me on the Core Women podcast today.
Thank you again so much for having me.
It was a pleasure. You can follow Sheila Williamson on Facebook at sheila.williamson.98, on LinkedIn at Sheila Mosley Williamson, and at www.twocalls.org. And you can find her book on Amazon.
Thank you for joining us on the Core Women Podcast with Dr. Summer Watson. We're so glad you're here and would love to connect more with you. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Core Women, and on Twitter at Core Women 1. For more about Core Women and Dr. Watson, visit corewomen.com. Want more support and resources for amazing women like you? Great! Join Dr. Watson and Jen Fontanilla at the Life, Love, and Money Collective, a Core Women production that aids in understanding the key traits that might be getting in the way of living a life that you are absolutely passionate about. Connect with Summer and Jen and find out more at thelifeloveandmoney.com.